Welcome to this week's episode of the Black Cat Podcast. Joining me on the show today is Nathan Taylor from the Western Weekender. Just a quick heads up that for the first 5 or 10 minutes, the audio quality is a little choppy because I've just never recorded an interview before and hadn't anticipated microphones, clipping, things like that. It is totally listenable and improves as the show goes on, but just wanted to give you guys a heads up that the audio quality does start off a little choppy. Nate does a great job covering the Panthers. I'm really glad to have him on as the first guest of the Black Cat Podcast. So enjoy. So joining me now on the Black Cat Podcast is Nathan Taylor from the Western Weekender. How's things, Nate?
G'day, Sam. How are you, mate?
Yeah, really good. Thanks for coming on the show, dude. As I'm sure you're aware, I am constantly sourcing you for info on these podcasts, so it's cool to actually have you on to talk about them for yourself.
Yeah, mate. I listen to it every week, so yeah, it's good to actually finally be on, so thanks for having me, man. Yep,
no problem, man. So let's dive right in, I guess, with the big news that broke today. Trent Merrin signing with the club for 3 years. I gather you're a fan?
Definitely. I think it's been bubbling away for a while, so I think we're all very happy that it's finally been announced. There was a lot of rumours, a lot of innuendo, what's going to happen. I got told it was going to actually be announced last Friday, but obviously held off a couple more days to announce it today. But yeah, very happy with the signing. You know, you can't go wrong if you've got an origin forward in your team, and we finally will have one now next year. So yeah, it's very good news for the club and for the fans.
Yeah, definitely. I actually tweeted something really similar to that out today, which is probably worth repeating, and that was just that, like, Penrith are already a contending team. We made the top four last year, as everyone knows, and secured long-term deals with pretty much every player that had a significant role on the team, and to then be able to add to that with a State of Origin player that, yeah, is pretty much entering his prime now. Like, I struggle to see how anyone could be unhappy with that or even be unsure whether that's a good thing.
Well, that's right. Gus said it was in his press release today, one of the most significant signings in Panthers history, and it's 49 years. So you think Gus would know what he's talking about when he says that. I think he said the same thing about Jamie Soward a few years ago. He said he was a marquee signing, and he turned out all right. But, yeah, I mean, as you would know, we are going to lose a few players in this year, either by retirement or them going elsewhere. You're going to lose a Brent Kite, who brings over 300 games worth of experience. Nigel Plum, who's just such a workhorse and such a great person to have around the club. He's already confirmed he'd be retiring. So you've got Merrin there that can easily, you know, fill one of those front row spots if need be, or you can also chuck him into the lock if they decide to, you know, put Elijah Taylor at second row and maybe move on Adam Docker. We're not sure what's happening with him yet. So he's very versatile, and he might come with a big price tag, but that's what you got to pay for an origin forward in his prime. And I'm quite happy to cough up the money for him if that's the case.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. Absolutely. And I think, yeah, obviously players are going to be leaving to make way for such a huge signing. But as you were mentioning earlier, these guys that are retiring, like, that won't be an insignificant amount of salary that's coming off the books when a guy like Brent Kite comes over, who we basically outbidded Manly for. So you would think someone like him coming off the books, Nigel Plum retiring as well, who probably wasn't on anywhere near that level of money, but yeah, just those two guys alone are obviously going to make up for a significant portion of Merrin's salary. Then you consider there might be some third party.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
The third parties involved in paying that salary, you think we might not have to give up anywhere near as much as a lot of people sort of thought we would be giving up in the first place. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, it could only be $500,000. I have no idea, and the rest could be third parties. I'm not too sure on the details, but everything, you know, the things that do get reported, yeah, they might be close, but they're never exactly on the mark. It's a lot of, you know, predictions and things like that, you know, market value, what they think is worth. But people would be close, but they're probably not taking into account third parties, and that's probably what's happened here. Yeah,
cool. And what did you make of the rest of the preseason from the club?
It was a bit of a funny old preseason because obviously we started with the Nines. I'm not sure where you can take that into account. It was pretty bad, but the team we put out there, I guess we sort of could expect what was gonna go down there. A lot of inexperienced players, and you sort of threw in a few players there. You had your Kevvy Kingston's coming back, which, you know, I'm not sure if that worked or not, but I guess it was fun for people to watch if they're into that sort of thing. And then you had your New South Wales Cup win. I think we had some few first graders in that when they went and played the Tigers, the Wyong Roos, sorry, in Wyong, and they did well there. I think they belted the Roos. And then you came back and, you know, you played obviously Parramatta a couple of weeks ago. I'm not sure. There was a lot of players there that probably didn't want to get injured and didn't really want to go full hard at it, you know, in such a trial game. And probably Parramatta maybe wanted a little bit more, but I think that the teams were fairly even in that game. And in the New Zealand trial, yeah, we did sort of match them up until halftime. But then when Ivan decided to take, you know, most of the good players off, the Warriors sort of steamrolled us. So it's hard to say. A lot of players were underdone. So many were coming back from injury, surgeries. I said they're maybe a little bit apprehensive in terms of, you know, not getting injured and, you know, just wanting to get some miles in the legs, as I think Peter Wallace told me back before the New Zealand game. So, yeah, you could sum it up as it was a good effort, but I wouldn't read too much into it, put it that way.
Yeah. No, that sounds exactly how I think we should be looking at it. Just a lot of it was pretty ugly, even that trial game against Parramatta at home. It was some pretty ugly football, but at the end of the day, I don't remember any attractive football being played in the trial games last year, and it wasn't even till sort of a few weeks into the season that we started to actually see something a little more structured and, yeah, actually pleasant to watch. So,
yeah, and you probably will expect the first six rounds, our play might be, you know, might not be as great as you probably saw it towards the end of last year, and it's because a lot of players are coming back from injury and surgery, and they probably are, a lot of them are underdone, so they probably aren't going to be firing until, you know, midway through the season. But as if we can jag, you know, at least five wins out of 10 games, be 5-5 by the 10-game mark, then I don't think you can really go wrong with that, considering, you know, what we've had to endure over the off-season and pre-season with, you know, people coming back and, you know, slotting a few new pieces into the puzzle sort of thing, so.
Yeah. So as someone who's spent a lot of time around the team during the pre-season and, I guess, over the last few years, have you noticed any sort of leadership changes within the group this year from what you would have seen last year, like, just thinking about even a guy like Matt Moylan, who,
yeah,
I guess going into last season was still a bit of an unknown quantity. He hadn't really proven anything yet in first grade, other than that he had a lot of promise, and then having the year he had last year where he really burst onto the scene, and then obviously got picked into the Kangaroos squad, and yeah, a lot of that sort of stuff. Surely the All-Star game as well would have given him a lot of confidence. Have you seen any sort of changes in the group dynamic, I guess, with guys like him going away and then coming back to the camp?
Certainly, and Matt Moylan, he's just matured out of sight, you know, since this time last year, or even maybe 18 months ago. Like, he was just this quiet kid. He still is quiet, but he used to laugh a lot in interviews, and now he's a little bit more serious. He's a bit more, you know, focused, and, you know, he's really, you can tell he's really, you know, one of the senior players, despite being in his early 20s, you know, he's really taken a bit of a leadership role now. You know, people look to him, especially the younger guys might look to him, like your Jennings brothers or your Wonga Blakes and things like that. And I think he'd be someone that they want to sort of mold themselves into one day. But certainly, yeah, Matt Moylan, he's changed a complete 180. To remember this time last year, him and Soward had to do a joint media session because Moylan was a little bit afraid to do it on his own. So Soward jumped in and helped him out. But now Moylan can do just about anything. So he's definitely one that stood out. Obviously, Kevvy Kingston, obviously his leadership's not going to be there in terms of a team perspective. Obviously, he'll be around with coaching the younger grades and that sort of thing. So you're going to be missing a lot from him. But then you've also got Peter Wallace, that's your sole captain now, and he'll step up a lot. And also Jamie Soward, the experience he got from the back end of last year taking over captaincy, it also changed him, I believe, as a person as well. But even he admits he's happy to throw the reins back to Wallace, but I think you can expect Soward to also have a strong sort of vision on the field, and you know, for a lot of players to look to him as well, because he's one of the playmakers. And in the forwards, obviously your Brent Kites, your Elijah Taylors, I think those guys are going to be the ones to watch for, you know, for the bigger men to look up to, because you know they're so experienced, and the way they work on the field, the way they tackle, and it's just amazing to watch. And I think a lot of the young guys will definitely learn a lot from, especially those four, your Moylands, your Sowards, Wallaces, and also your Taylors and Kites. I think they're definitely your leaders of the team this year.
Okay. So we might just jump into some of the quick team previews that I was sort of doing throughout the off season, and didn't get a chance to record a show last week. So I wanted to sort of finish it off this week. And I thought you might be able to help me by going through the over-unders real quick and figuring out whether or not we like any of these top five contending teams from last year. And I guess where their over-unders are set for this year and what we think they'll be doing on the field this year. So I'll start with the Cowboys, who their over-under is currently set at 13.5 wins, which is roughly 31 competition points. Mm-hmm. I personally think that's a little low for the Cowboys. What do you think?
I agree, yeah.
Yeah, I think, 31, that's crazy to me. Like, I think they would have finished around 32 points last year. I can't see any reason why they won't be as good this year as they were last year. Like, just, I guess the Sims brothers leaving that's significant, but I look at that Jason Taumalolo, who they've just re-signed, and think he looks insane, that kid. And he's like, I think, what is he, 21 years old? And we saw some of the stuff he was doing in the nine, some of those, just the way he can fend, and he's a wrecking ball that can just run up the middle of the field and push guys off him. And
Yeah, I think with the Cowboys, I mean, if they can stay healthy, especially your main players in terms of Jonathan Thurston, your Matt Scotts, even Michael Morgan at the back, you want those guys to be healthy, you know, and James Tamo as well. I mean, they're the ones that are going to really push the Cowboys far this season. And everyone always says, which year's the Cowboys' year? They've been saying it for years. Eventually, it's going to have to be their year. So it very well could be this year if they can sort of survive that Origin period when a lot of their players are out and maybe jag a few wins there, then I certainly believe whatever the over-under was, I think it was 31 points or whatever you said it was, surely they can do better than that. They would have to be pushing for a top four, anything less. Then obviously they can still, you know, take a premiership, but I think they would they definitely want a top four spot, and you know, have that home final up there in North Queensland, and maybe skip straight to the preliminary final, and who knows what can happen from there. But yeah, I think the Cowboys are going to be a real force this year for sure.
Yeah, I think a big thing for them as well will just be winning on the road this year. Like, I'm sure you'd remember last year they had that ridiculous record of games. I don't know if it was consecutively, but they didn't win an away game for like the first 2 or 3 months of the season. It was ridiculous, and they still finished like basically a game off top four. And you think if they can just be respectable on the road, like win almost half their games and be the sort of powerhouse we know they're going to be up in Townsville, you'd think 32 points is just that would be a piece of cake for a team like the Cowboys this year.
You would think so. What do you think about Lachlan Coote? Where do they use him, Sam?
I really struggle with, like, when Lachlan Coote was at Penrith, I loved Lachlan Coote.
Yeah.
I think I love Lachlan Coote in a way where he's like the little brother on the team and he's doing really well. And I felt like Lachlan Coote's mum on the sideline cheering him on. But as an actual talent, I think he's way too small.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's actually got anywhere near the level of ball playing skill that the Cowboys probably think they have in him when they signed him, I guess. I the way Michael Morgan played last year, I don't see how Lachlan Coote plays for them at all. But I don't know. I guess he could have come in and bulked up a little bit more. He obviously has to, because he just can't stay healthy. He can't stay fit at the size he's played at throughout his career. But if Lachlan Coote can come in, and I don't know if he's going to play some sort of utility role off the bench, if they're going to move Morgan into the centres or something, I'm not sure. But if it was my team, I'd be going with Michael Morgan, and I'd probably be seeing if there was anyone else interested in taking a punt on Lachlan Coote, who's missed so much time over the last few years, and no one's really seen the best of what he can actually offer yet. So,
yeah, he's been a kid crippled by injuries his whole career. I mean, nearly every year when he was with the Panthers, he had some sort of injury, and it's a shame because you're right, he's a nice guy, and I think he, you know, he sort of played his best football when he was at fullback during that 2010 team when, you know, we came second in the comp. And
yeah, and he scored 100 tries, yeah.
Yeah, that was a fantastic season for him. But you're right, his position's probably at fullback. Michael Morgan's got that now. I don't know whether they're going to move Robert Louis out of, you know, 5/8 or halfback for him to fit in there, whether they'll do that or not. It'll be an interesting ride for Lachlan Coote and see what happens, I guess.
Yeah. What about the Melbourne Storm? They're same, 31 competition points. And yeah, an over under of 13.5 wins. I would say they would probably be closer to the under on that for me. They're an aging team. They're probably not, yeah, they don't have a lot of sort of junior players coming through that are going to play those pivotal roles for them when guys like Cooper Cronk and not so much Cooper Cronk, but Cam Smith and Billy Slater move on. You wonder what the contingency plan is going to be for the Storm, and this could be that first year where they're sort of transitioning into a rebuilding team, because obviously a really great run for quite a long time now, but yeah, it could be coming to an end. What do you think?
Yeah, every year you keep waiting for the Storm to fall over, despite all these players that leave their team, your Inglises, your Hoffmans, all those people that leave over the years, you're still waiting for them to go and, you know, fall down the ladder, but somehow they pull out these gems from out of nowhere and they still stick in the race and they always find themselves in the top eight. I probably think that over-under's fairly right. I'd say that's a pretty fair assumption. I reckon they'll probably get around that, maybe a little one or two games less, but I think they'll definitely make the top eight. They'll be right in there, but I don't think they could go any further than week one or two of the finals.
Yeah, that seems fair. Now Manly, so I got this over under on the weekend of 13.5 wins. I wouldn't be surprised if I went back online and checked today and it was like 11.5 wins, but it's currently, yeah, 13.5, and a lot of the experts put in their picks for the season of teams they thought would make the top eight, and it was quite a common sort of choice to see Manly just outside the eight with a lot of expert predictions, and it seems like there will be a lot of internal rifts within the club still. I guess Daly Cherry Evans, we don't really know what's happening there. Kieran Foran's obviously already going to be playing with one foot out the door.
Yeah,
that it's a really ugly situation in Manly, and I'm pretty glad for it because I obviously live in the area and and I am so sick of seeing Manly Seagulls fans in late September driving around with these Seagulls flags that suddenly appear out of nowhere to be flying from outside people's cars that 3 months earlier didn't give two craps about the NRL or Manly. But yeah, I'm hoping that this is the year that Manly sort of fade into irrelevance, but
yeah,
I'm not sure.
It's the same thing year after year. It's like the Storm, we're waiting for them to fall over. It's like Manly every year. They seem to have some sort of drama or internal problem, but they seem to pull it out from somewhere and they still are a strong side. I mean, is this the year that it all falls apart? Maybe. We're not sure. I guess it all depends what happens with their halves. If Daly Cherry Evans and Kieran Foran sign elsewhere for 2016, then what's their frame of mind going to be during the season and their teammates knowing that their halves are gone for next year? I mean, it's also probably a bit of an aging roster. The back line's fantastic. I don't think you can, fault the back line, but maybe the internal rumblings might finally get them, but I don't know. They seem mentally strong, Manly, so I'd say their over-under is maybe fair, maybe one or two games out, but yeah, I think they'll still make the. I think they still make the finals at this stage. But
of course, they freaking will, won't they?
Just don't say Manly. They're just one of those teams that you can never count out. You know.
Yeah. And what do you think with Brett Stewart? Is this his last year at Manly?
Well, it's always meant to be his last year, isn't it? He was supposed to go in the off season to Canberra, wasn't he? But this is his last year on contract, is it?
It is. Yeah, he's off contract at the end of the season, and They've got this young kid coming through, and I think his surname is pronounced Trebojevic.
Yeah.
Is he? So there's two of them. There's brothers Jake and Tom. I'm not sure which one's which, but one of them's a fullback, and he was playing at the Nines, and he looked sensational. He's like 6'3". He's got these really long legs. He's sort of built a bit like Matt Moylan, maybe a little bit taller, but he looks like a track sprinter. Like, he's crazy fast, and yeah, he plays fullback's his natural position. He's played in all the Australian schoolboys teams, and I think he's about 19 years old. You'd think maybe the easiest thing for Manly to do would be sort of see what they can do for Brett Stewart, if they can get some sort of compensation for letting him go, do that. If not, maybe just let him walk and see what this kid's got. But I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a happy environment at Manly. And
no,
I thought that actually sort of showed a little bit in the finals last year. I was praying that we were going to get Manly in the first round after what I saw that day at Brookvale Oval, which was pretty heartbreaking. But we went to, that game at Brookvale Oval where we were up by like 20 points or whatever it was. And
that was horrible.
The wheels fell off and Tom Simon scored that try in the corner right in front of me.
It's still haunting you by the sounds of it.
Yeah, but watching Manly play that day until they sort of somehow worked out how to score tries again, they just looked so out of sync. And I thought it seemed like a team of guys that have been playing together for that long shouldn't have looked like that in like a round 25 game. And yeah, you just wonder if there are things where they're just not enjoying playing together anymore, and that would make it really easy, I guess, to let a guy like Brett Stewart just walk and sort of start fresh with some young guys that are coming through and, yeah, really talented.
I guess it all depends on how Manly go this year. I mean, Brett Stewart as a killer of season makes the Blues team or whatever, then Manly will consider keeping him around for a year or two. Yeah. But if Manly are sort of sliding, then they may look to the future and move Stewart on. If he wants to go, he might want to finish out his career in England, or his brother's left. He might want to, he might feel that, I can move elsewhere now, and who knows. But, it'd be interesting to see what happens with Manly this year. I think they're in for an interesting season for sure.
And if Will Hopewade plays like crap at Parramatta, maybe Brett Stewart moves there and plays with his brother and Kieran Foran next year.
Well, that's right. Well, his brother's at South, don't forget. So.
What am I talking about? Anthony Watmos at Parramatta. I don't think Greg Inglis is going to have a bad enough season that they'll replace him.
Not with an aging Brett Stewart. No, that's right. Yeah.
All right. What about the Roosters? Do you hate the Roosters?
Oh, don't we all hate the Roosters? I think we're meant to hate the Roosters.
Hate the Roosters.
That's what we saw when we signed our memberships.
Question one. Before your name, do you hate the Roosters? Yes. Okay, you can become a member of the Panthers.
Exactly.
Oh, I hate the Roosters. I hate so many of those players. I was actually watching the All Stars game and thinking how crap I thought Mitchell Pearce looked playing with a guy like Matt Moylan, because we're not really used to having our own guys playing in these sorts of games, but having Matt Moylan in an All-Stars game and knowing what he can do and seeing how many opportunities Mitchell Pearce would have had to just flick the ball out the back to Moylan and basically create instant scoring opportunities, and either trying to take it himself, making the wrong pass, making a bad pass. I just thought, you're not that good.
And there's going to be a lot of talk about what's happening with James Maloney this year as well. Will he stay? Will he go? That's going to be another thing that's going to be hovering over their heads for a while. I think Rio Hargraves is also off contract too, I believe. So there's going to be a lot of attention surrounding those players heading into the season as well. But I mean, the Roosters are the Roosters. I mean, I think they'll still be one of the top sides this year. I think a top four finish would be fair to say for them. I don't see them falling over too much, but it all depends what happens during that Origin period. I mean, they could have a few players out there. If they can stand up during that time, then they should do okay. But I think, I don't see a premiership in their sights. Hopefully not anyway.
Oh, God.
That'd be horrible.
Oh, I could not do that again.
What a boring grand final that would be.
Oh, the Roosters back in the grand final. Kill me now. What about the Rabbits? Their over-under's at 15.5. Sorry, the Roosters was 15.5 as well. We didn't really get to that. But that's basically 35 competition points and probably good enough for top two.
Yeah, that'd be fair. I think that's top two. I think top four would be fair for them. I think that might be, 15 wins sounds about right for them for 2015 for sure.
Yeah. They're a good team. And Timmy Grant obviously going over there should help, I guess, supplement some of the forwards that they've sort of lost with Sam Burgess leaving and Luke Burgess, if he's any good. He's not really any good, but they needed someone to go in there and play in the forwards. And I'm hoping to see Tim Grant sort of get back to somewhere near where he was. I don't want him to get all the way to where he was, but somewhere near where he used to be. I'd be happy to see Tim Grant playing at a high level again, because I really liked him and thought he was a very good ambassador for the Panthers.
Certainly. I think the last year or two at Penrith for Tim, I think they were very tough on him. He lost a lot of his mates during that time. A lot of close friends went to other clubs, so he may have felt a bit isolated and, he fell out of favour with Ivan. We all know that. Playing in and out of New South Wales Cup each week and not knowing if you got a first grade spot and on the day of a game getting dropped. And, so much went on last year. And I think we really missed out on seeing what Tim Grant has to offer. Hopefully he can reignite his career at South, and we see him again, because you're right, he's a good guy, and he deserves to play well, and he's on a good team, so he hasn't gone to a terrible team, so hopefully he fits in well there. Obviously, the Souths have lost some big names in Sam Burgess would be your main one, but they've got Tim Grant there, which would probably fill half of a Burgess, and you've got Glenn Stewart that's joined as well. So
was that a pun for George Burgess's leaked photos?
I haven't seen those leaked photos. I don't know about you, Sam. And George Burgess, I think he's going to be a real standout this year. He's going to take over from his brother, I think. So he'll be one to watch. But, I think Souths were definitely top four for Souths, probably top two. I mean, I don't see them falling away too much. But, they're just one of those teams that that are going to be hard to beat, definitely, this year. I mean, we haven't beat them in years.
Have we ever beaten Souths?
Oh,
it feels like we've never beaten Souths. I don't ever go to – even when Souths are crap, I don't ever feel like we're going to beat Souths.
Well, I'll never forget 2010, I think, when we were in our prime, when we came second. I think we were at halftime, we were like 40-0.
Yeah, that's right. That was one of the games they played as well a few months back when they were doing all those NRL team days on Fox Sports. They played that game where we belted Souths, and
exactly. I think that was probably the last time we beat Souths. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the last time. But they're always hard to beat, Souths. I mean, look at how they've got in the preseason. I mean, they've had a fantastic preseason, winning the Nines, the Charity Shield, the World Cup Challenge,
winning everything.
You don't get much better than that, so no. I think they're going to be ready to go this year for sure.
Yeah. So this weekend we've got an actual football game, like a real game where people are playing for points and ladder positioning and all that sort of stuff.
I know, it's good, isn't it?
Doggies.
Yes, the Doggies, the guys into town, revenge. Will we get some revenge on the Bulldogs? What are you thinking, Sam?
I don't think so. I don't think we will get them for round one. I think the Bulldogs are probably one of the teams as well that might take that next step up to being, like, I think there's no doubting that they'll be a top four team this year. Like, they had that weird, I guess the Origin period really stuffed them up, and it's pretty understandable as well. Like, you lose your halves pairing for however long, and then they have their 6-week hangover after winning the first Origin in 8-9 years, whatever it was. And basically, they're on a celebration trail after the Origin series. But I think they'll come back in focus this year. They still made a grand final. They've got James Graham, who's maybe the best player in football, if not probably the best front rower in the game now. Like, they're a crazy good team. And then they add the Morris brother that they didn't already have, whichever one that was.
Yeah, Brett Morris.
I used to have this thing I'd do where I knew that the B Morris didn't play for the Bulldogs, which was confusing because it would have been way easier if it was the Bulldog Brett Morris, but it was not the Bulldog Brett Morris and Josh Morris playing for the Bulldog. Yeah, so even when I did their preview a couple of weeks ago, I was completely butchering which Morris brothers I was talking about. But I think round one's going to be really tough, and the first few weeks are going to be fairly tough for us. We get one little nice one. We get the Cowboys in round two out at Darwin, and what better time of the year to be playing the Titans than when half their team's probably still suspended from all these ridiculous drug charges and things. But I think round one's going to be really tough. I'm going into this one expecting we're not going to win and hoping for a nice surprise, because I think the way our schedule is probably designed this year, we're probably going to be sort of middling for most of the season and then having a really strong late push going into the finals.
Mm.
What do you think for this weekend?
This weekend, you're right. It is a toss of the job. I think it's more of a 50-50 call for me. I think I'm glad we're at home. It's Sunday afternoon. I think we're going to be a lot better than we were in that trial against Parramatta. I think hopefully we're going to be on. We're really going to be on. But yeah, you are playing Canterbury, who are outstanding, and they made some great additions in the off season. And James Graham being named captain last week is only going to fire him up more. He completely dominated us during that game in the prelim final. I don't think Soward was himself in that game because he was absolutely monstered by James Graham on a lot of occasions. But the one thing that's going to hurt Penrith is the fact that there's going to be so many players that are playing their first real game. You know, they didn't really have much of a trial period. I mean, Josh Mansell is rumoured to be actually coming back for this game. Not sure what's happening with Dallin yet. I mean, those guys haven't even had a trial at all. So yeah. If anyone's going to get targeted, it's going to be those guys. Idris, you know, he had that 20 minutes, half an hour against Parramatta, but even he's going to be underdone. There's going to be so many players that are underdone. It's not funny. So if they can get over that, then that's going to be fantastic, and they can ride on the emotion of the crowd and score some good tries and get a good lead up. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we go home a bit sad on Sunday. But I'm like you. I'm hoping for a win, but I'm not going to lay any strong bets on it.
What about just a couple of other guys that we haven't really seen through the preseason? Adam Docker, where's he at with his health? And
I think he's close. I'm not sure how close he is to playing. There's a media session on, and we're recording tonight, but there's a media session tomorrow with a few trainings, so might have a poke around there. But I'm not sure how far he is away. I really couldn't tell. I know Nigel Plum is pretty much a certain person to be out for the Bulldogs because he just doesn't look right at all. I think he's still trying to recover from some surgery, and the last couple of times I've seen him, I saw him at the season launch on Friday, and he's just hobbling around. And
is Nigel Plum ever not hobbling around?
He looks like an old man, honestly. He's got poor bastard's got glasses now, and his head's really bald. And I was surprised when I saw him. I love the guy, but I can see why he knows this is his last year of rugby league, because he's just taken so many hits over the years, and I think it's finally caught up with him. But I think, I don't think he'll be right for round one. Adam Docker, I'm not too sure what his status is. Hopefully he's not too far away. But I think one person that may get a shot on Sunday, maybe Regan Campbell-Gillard. They do need a prop to fill in for Plum, so I wouldn't be surprised if he gets his debut on Sunday as well.
Oh, that'd be cool. I actually quite liked the look of Regan during the preseason. He looked so lost in the nines, and that's probably not even that surprising when you consider the pace they play at in that sort of format of a game. But moving into the preseason game and like the one in at home against Parramatta, he actually did look like an NRL forward. And I guess how old is he? 20 years old. If you're a 20-year-old and you look like an NRL forward, that's probably promising.
Yeah. He's very big and he's very strong, and he's starting to really look good in a first grade team. You know, it did take him a while. I mean, I thought he would have made his debut maybe last year. I mean, we've been talking about this kid for a while. He has been part of the club for a long time, so I was surprised he hadn't debuted yet. But I think he's definitely going to be one of the standouts. A lot of people are talking about Jennings brothers, Wonga Blakes. Yeah, they're going to be great players, and we're going to expect that. But I think maybe Regan Campbell-Gillard could also be one of those ones to watch out for this year, especially amongst the new boys who are going to debut.
Very good. Exciting stuff, man. Thanks heaps for coming on the show. I think that's pretty much where we'll wrap it up. That was a little longer than I actually thought we'd go, but it's good to actually...
That's what happens when you have a co-host. It goes longer. You don't have to talk to yourself.
I know. Talk to myself like an absolute psychopath, just sitting in a dark room talking about the football. People in my house probably wondering who the fuck I'm talking to. But thanks heaps for coming on, man. It's really good to actually talk to you in person. It's very different to just scrolling through your Twitter feed and seeing what's happening with the club right before I record a podcast and then reporting all of that.
Man, it's been good. Yeah, if any time you want to come on in a few weeks, I'm happy to come on. We'll do another little update. But
yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, be down there tomorrow, so I'll see what's going on. And on Friday, I think Ivan has his coach's press conference, so there's always a few things you can get out of that if he ever tells you the truth. He likes to throw a few porkies out there, old Ivan.
I didn't think there was anything you could take out of an Ivan Cleary press conference.
No, you can't really. It's more you going to to the thing and they're doing their captain's run just before it, and you managing to sneak and have a look on the field to see who's training, otherwise you'll never find out. Ivan would just tell you one thing and it's
very cryptic.
Exactly. Yeah, it's been good, man. Thanks for asking me to come on. Yeah, I'd be happy to come on another time. Now we know this whole thing works. It sounds all right. So
yeah, sounds good. And if you're not already following Nathan Taylor, which I'm sure you are, because if you're hardcore enough to be listening to this podcast, I'm sure you've got the common sense to be following Nate. But if you're not, Nate, what's your Twitter handle again?
Yeah, it's Nate Taylor 87.
Yeah, cool. So make sure you're following Nate. And yeah, as always, go the Mighty Panthers. Thanks again, Nate.
Thanks, Sam.
Cool. Thanks, buddy.